'n hartlike welkom op Power Hour KC 107.7 met my Gerien de Wet. Hierdie program gaan vir jou inspirerende gaste bring van oud na jonk, asook hoe om meer kragtige en vervullende lewe te lei. Wil jy meer uit jou lewe hê? Dan is Power Hour net vir jou. Kom ek begin vandag met die volgende. Verander hoe jy met jouself praat. Watter impak het dit op jou lewe? Is jy geneig om te sê ek is nie goed genoeg nie? Of dit is te moeilik? Besef jy dat wat jy vir jouself sê 'n impak het op die uitkoms of jou vooruitgang? So kom ek help jou om dit te verander. Maar meer oor dit later en gesels saam met my op 082-414-1077. Ek wil hoor wat jou uitdagings of voorstelle is, maar nou eers 'n bietjie musiek voordat jy hulle bekendstel aan ons twee fantastiese gaste wat vandag hier sit.
This is KC 107.7.
Dit was Appels se Klom keer lekker. Jy kuier saam met my Gerien de Wet op Power Hour KC 107.7 en vandag gesels ons met 'n legende in die rugby wêreld se kinders. Ja, the one and only Clovis Wiese se kinders sit hier saam met my. Demonay en Leroux Wiese, hoe gaan dit met julle?
Hallo Gerien, dis ek om hier te wees. Gaan goed, dankie.
Ja, baie baie goed, dankie. Dankie vir die geleentheid.
Baie dankie vir julle tyd. Weet julle twee is twee baie besige mense. Demonay en Leroux, vertel ons bietjie van jouself, julle persoonlike belangstellings en hoe is dit om Kobus Wiese se kinders te wees? Is hy baie streng? Ons moet dat weet eerste. Is hy baie streng?
Net wat nodig is.
Net wat nodig
is. 100%. Dan is oorspronkelijk, ek was hier op hoërskool in die Parel gewees en toe het ek in Stellenbosch gaan studeer en toe het ongelukkig COVID nou gekom en toe moes ek alles online geskuif het. Toe besluit ek kom ek begin so lank inval by die familiebesigheid om te werk. En ja, ek moes alles weer van die begin af leer om my studies toe te pas in die familiebesigheid in. So, en ja, nou werk ek voltyds in die familiebesigheid. Leer ongelooflik baie, baie dankbaar om te kan leer by iemand soos my pa. En ja, belangstellings, ek probeer maar kennis opdoen van verskillende goed. Ek is mal daaroor om kennis op te doen oor first responder, mediese goed en bietjie taktiese goed. Asook, ek oefen saam met my sussie baie keer bietjie jiu-jitsu, kickboxing. En ja, dit probeer ons maar in ons vrye tyd inwerk wanneer werk nie 'n prioriteit is nie.
Great. Demonay?
Yes, ek het in 2021 gematrikuleer, ook in die Parel, en ek swat tans bekom besigheidsbestuur en bemarking in Stellenbosch. Ek is ook in die koshuis in Stellenbosch. My belangstelling is ek neem deel aan kickboxing, ek is tans besig om vir 'n fight voor te berei, en ek doen beoefen ook so'n bietjie jiu-jitsu. Ek het 'n groot liefde vir perde ook, ek sal graag eendag is die doel om met perde te begin teel. So vir nou wag is maar net dat die kleintjie groot raak, dat ons eendag met daar kan begin teel.
Great. Ons het nou van julle pa gehoor van of hy nou 'n streng persoon is. Vertel ons 'n bietjie van julle ma voor ons voortgaan.
Ja, ek dink my ma is een van die is die groot brein dink ek agter die besigheid. My ma is beslis iemand waarna ek baie opkyk en ek dink Demnie kan ook getuig daarvan dat my ma ongelooflik baie kennis en wysheid het as dit kom by die besigheid waarin ons onsself bevind vandag. En ek dink ons twee leer so baie by haar in hoe om goed gedoen te kry, hoe om te prioritiseer en te beplan. Want ek het nog nooit iemand ontmoet soos my ma wat so goed dinge in orde kan kry en dinge kan regryk wanneer dinge bietjie skeef loop nie. So ek dink sy is beslis 'n goeie rolmodel vir ons albei.
Ja, ek dink beslis my ma is iemand, sy sit nie terug en wag dat dinge gedoen word hier, sy staan op en doen dit haarself. So ek dink my ma en pa is 'n baie goeie kombinasie van die twee. My pa is nou die persoon wat gaan uitgaan met die mense praat, my ma is die een wat agter die ja, behind the scenes meer die werk sal doen en ja, gaan doen wat sy moet doen wanneer dit moet gedoen word.
En sy klik na die dynamite. Die steenpilaar in die berg en al die. Ja, misschien moes nou net vir hom in die limelight altyd.
Ja.
Leroux en Demonay. Julle as jongmense bestuur die food truck van Wiesenhof. Vertel ons eers bietjie van die voltrek en wat bied julle alles en wat is die uitdagings wat julle in die gesig staar dat julle so op 'n jong ouderdom sulke groot goed aanpak.
Ja, ons het die geleentheid gekry om die ou Mercedes trok te kan ontskep in 'n food truck. En hierdie trok het ons 'n woodfire pizza oven in. Ons bied ook burgers aan, boerewasrolle en natuurlik Wiesnhof koffie ook. So ons het 'n groot verskeidenheid wat ons kan aanbied vir mense wat vir ons 'n groot geleentheid gee vir verskeidenheid funksies en ons kan vir 'n groot verskeidenheid mense ook cater.
Ja, so ek dink die grootste uitdaging wat ek geleer het die afgelope tyd, waarin ons staan nou tans by die Cape Gate Medikliniek Hospitaal, is dis 'n interessante omgewing om in te werk, aangesien niemand wil vrywilliglik by 'n hospitaal wees. Dit is 'n baie interessante atmosfeer om daar te werk, want daar kom mense daar in wat die viering van 'n geboorte het en iemand wat weer treur, iemand wat hulle verloor het. So ek dink dit is baie moeilik om vir elke kliënt wat na die trok toe kom te benader, want almal is in 'n verskillende emosionele toestand. Party mense het ongelooflike blydskap, ander het weer verskriklike hartseer. En ek dink dit is waar baie belangrik dat ons wat op die trok werk of enige iemand in 'n hospitality bedryf die mentaliteit moet hê om hulle self in hulle kliënte wie hulle bedien se skoene te sit. Want byvoorbeeld, ek het al gesien iemand wat net wil werk, wil nie heeltyd gepla word elke 5 minute met 'n kelner wat vra wil hulle iets drink of iets eet nie. Waar iemand wat stoksiel alleen en dalk eensaam in 'n koffiewinkel ingekom, wil bietjie meer aandag hê, wil meer die woord as ek pamper kan gebruik. En ek dink dit is 'n groot uitdaging om te besef hoe om elke kliënt te hanteer, want almal, soos ek sê, almal verskil. So ek dink dit is iets wat ek probeer leer die afgelope tyd.
Ja, ek het nog nooit so daarna gekyk. Regtig, dit is nou 'n hele nuwe insig wat ek het oor dit. Demene, jy studeer ook tans BCom bestuur, as ek reg het.
Ja, yes, BCom besigheidsbestuur en bemarking.
Ok, hoe bestuur jy jou tyd met studies, met werk? I mean, jy bestuur 'n full track on the one end. En dan ook jou sport, jy is ook deel van die SA kampioenskap. So, hoe doen jy dit? Vertel ons wat jou resep.
Vir my dink ek het gaan definitief oor prioriteite. Jy moet maar besluit wat vir jou die belangrikste is op daai stadium. So wanneer ek nou eksamentye het of so, dan moet ek op daai dag besluit wat gaan ek prioritiseer. En net om consistent te bly, om wanneer ek moet leer, gaan doen ek my leerwerk, maar ek maak seker ek kom by my ander goed uit, want in die einde van die dag is al genoeg tyd vir alles. Dis net hoe jy jou tyd bestuur. So, en ook is belangrik, ek en Leroux saam in die besigheid, ek weet ek kan op hom staat maak, wanneer ek hom sê ek kan nie by die goed uitkom, jy weet ek, hy het my rug. So ek dink is baie belangrik om mense te hê wat jou ondersteun. So dan weet ek, ek kan fokus op my studies, ek kan fokus om my sport te bevorder en by my werk sal gedoen kan word, want ek weet ek het iemand wie ek op kan staat maak.
Ja, dynamiet, mis dan sien. As waar as jy goeie support system het,
yes, 100%.
Dan is jy sterk en is lekker om so 'n broer te het, nee?
Ja, dis wonderlik, ja, ek sal nie sonder hom wat kan doen nie.
Jou boeta, nee?
Yes.
Leroux, jy is ook voltyds betrokke by Wiesnhof self.
Ja,
Wiesnhof Coffees. Behalwe dat jy die food truck bestuur, en jy is ook betrokke by verskeie sport. En jy doen baie goed daarin. Hoe, wat jou resep? Vertel ons 'n bietjie.
Ja, ek dink die een ding wat ek geleer het die afgelope tyd is dat 'n mens moet prioritiseer en in ag neem wat se seisoen jy van jou lewe is. Sekere fases van jou lewe en sekere seisoene van jou lewe kry sekere aktiwiteite meer aandag, ander kry minder aandag. En dit is iets waarmee ek baie gesukkel het die afgelope in die van die verlede, as ek dit so kan stel, is om te besluit wat belangrik is en wat dringend gedoen moet word. En hoe ek dit benader is om vir myself te vra wat werklik die belangrikste en die mees hoe kan ek sê, die belangrikste vir my toekoms gaan wees. En nie net alles te doen wat ek kan nie, want ek dink as 'n mens jou aandag op alles verdeel, skeep jy baie die belangrikste goed af. So, daar ek het 'n paar goed wat glad nie vir my onderhandelbaar is nie. Byvoorbeeld, woensdaagaande is ek in 'n selgroep en sondae het ons kerkdienste. En ek probeer alles rondom daai reël. Ek
tot met die beste van my vermoë probeer ek dat niks met dit inmeng nie. Dieselfde met werk, as daar spesifieke belangrike vergaderings is, sal ek alles rondom dit reël. Ek dink dit is net oor prioritiseer wat die belangrikste is in hierdie seisoen en fase van 'n mens se lewe. En dis hoe ek het probeer begin benader het om vir myself te vra maar wat gaan werklik vir my toekoms die belangrikste wees? En nie om my aandag te verdeel op 1000 goed nie, maar dalk op 10 belangrike goed. En wanneer daar 'n opening in my tyd kom, dan kan ek my aandag gee aan minder belangrike goed.
Wow, julle insig op so 'n jong ouderdom is diep. Regtig, en jy altyd hoor ek prioritiseer en ek hoor die tyd bestuur. En ek dink dis wat baie van ons, whether ons nou jong of oud is, ook maar moet leer. Wat is vir jou belangrik in die lewe? Maar, ek dink jy gaan eers na 'n musiekbreek toe. Dan kom ek terug na julle twee toe, want voor ek afeindig met julle, wil ons daarom die hoogtepunt toe van hierdie onderhoud bietjie klem opsit. As hy, ons is nou weer terug, bly ingeskakel by Power Hour KC 107.7.
This is KC 107.7 FM.
Dit was Karlien van Jaarsveld Hande. Jy is ingeskakel by my Gerinde Wet op Power Hour KC 107.7 op hierdie pragtige donderdag. En wat ter inspirerende twee jong gaste het ons vandag in die atelier. Leroux en Demenuivise. So, kan julle vir ons 'n bietjie, kan voor ons verder gaan. Daar is 'n vraag wat nou in my kop was. Julle was geboore, julle gebore word, was het nou net na die World Cup of julle pa was al famous?
Ja, so ek is 2003 gebore en Leroux 2000 gebore, so dit sal na die wêreldbeker gewees het.
Toe kom julle in die lewe met 'n baie bekende man.
Ja, my pa het klaar afgetree van professionele rugby af. Ek dink 2 of 3 jaar na dit toe ek gebore.
So, ek het gevra of hy 'n streng man was. So, hy is nog steeds baie in die kollig. Hoe is dit? Hoe vind julle dit? Want baie kere sien jy nie, hy sien nie regtig sy familie nie. Is dit omdat hy vir julle beskerm of het baie privaat is? Ja, vertel ons bietjie.
Ja, van die begin af het my ouers besluit om ons gesinslewe maar baie privaat te hou. En ek het baie respek daarvoor. Ek dink dit het vir ons baie gehelp om groot te raak met hulle wat weet, kyk, hulle wil ons privaat hou en ons gesin privaat hou. Maar ek het baie respek vir hoe hulle dit hanteer. My pa, ja, hy, vir ons was dit nog altyd normaal. Dit is wat ons ken, dit is hoe dit is. Verstaan, ons het nie die ander kant van die coin, as ek het so kan sê, van hoe dit sal wees van 'n pa wat nie in die kollig is nie. So dit bied ook baie geleenthede vir ons aan en vir hom geleenthede en vir die besigheid bied dit ook baie geleenthede aan vir hom wat in die kollig is.
Leroux?
Ja, ek dink dit is definitief 'n unieke situasie waar min mense se pa so in die kollig is. Ek dink beslis ons kan baie dankbaar en bevoorreg wees om want ons leer so baie by hom. En ek dink ons het beslis 'n ander kant van die lewe al gesien as dit kom by hoe my pa gedoen en wat sy mentaliteit is en sy lewenservaring, die lewenslesse wat ons by hom kan leer is onbeskryflik. En ek dink nie dis iets wat 'n mens sommer by enige iemand kan leer nie. Want ek dink dit vat 'n baie spesifieke tipe mens met sekere lewenservaring om daai lesse oor te kan dra. So ek dink wel dit was vir ons, soos Demini gesê het, ons is baie gewoon aan, ons sien nie dit as enigiets anders nie, want dit is wat ons ken van geboorte af. En ja, hy bly vir ons net ons pa. Ons ken hom nie as rugby speler of groot sakeman nie, ons ken hom as ons pa. En ek dink dit is hoe ons het verkies, want ek dink dit is so belangrik om daai te behou, waar hy 'n sekere lig in die wêreld is of 'n rol vol staan in die wêreld, is hy vir ons 'n pa en ja, ons is baie dankbaar daarvoor.
Wow, what a shout out to Papa Kobus Wiese daarso, a gentle giant.
Nee, definitief.
Rarig. En ek moet sê, dit wat julle ouers in julle ingesit het, dit is regtig wonderlik. Julle is twee pragtige, baie gegronde jong mense. You know, en ons nodig sulke jeug wat ons vorentoe vat. So, wat is jou drijfkrag? Jammer, tangtoosters. Wat is jou drijfkrag en het julle enige advies vir jong mense wat luister?
My drijfkrag is definitief, ek voel die Here sit geleenthede op my pad en vir my denk ek altyd, hy geef my die geleenthede, so die regte ding om te doen is om my alles te gee in wat hy vir my op my pad sit. En alles wat ek doen wil ek graag glorie aan sy naam kan bring en met trots doen wat hy vir my die geleenthede bied. En ook net met die mentaliteit om te weet, soos ek het familie wat my ondersteun, ouers wat my ondersteun, coaches wat my ondersteun, en dit sal onregverdig wees om nie my alles te gee, om vir dit te kan wys hoeveel ek waardeer al hulle opofferings wat hulle vir my maak nie. Ek dink ook dat, ja, soos net om vir hulle te wys, jy waardeer wat hulle vir jou doen, en aan die einde van die dag moet jy trots gaan wees op wat jy gedoen het, en weet, jy het jou alles gegee. Want as jy nie alles gee nie, dan gaan jy nie regtig jou lewe voluit lewe nie, en jy gaan nooit jou geleenthede gebruik wat op jou pad gesit is nie. En dan my advies vir jong mense wees is net om te begin. Dat jy is nooit te laat om met enigiets te begin nie. Vat nie daar eerste tree, want in 6 maande of 1 jaar of 2 jaar kan jy terugkyk en jy is 'n hele nuwe mens. Jy kan soveel nuwe geleenthede aangegryp het en soveel meer geleenthede gekry het en jy kan 'n ander mens wees en soveel meer bereik het wat jy gedink het jy kon, net omdat jy daar eerste tree geneem het.
Wow, wat amazing raad is daai. Leroux.
Ja, ek dink vir my persoonlik, ek was nog my hele lewe lank iemand wat alles wou probeer en alles wou, ek wou goed wees in alles en ek wou kennis opdoen en vaardighede opdoen en al hierdie verskillende goed om myself as jong man te bevorder. En toe het ek besef, maar daar's 'n maklike oplossing om hoe om die wêreld 'n beter plek te maak en dit is om die Here te vind. Want ek het besef dat mens kan individuele issues in die wêreld aanspreek, maar ek dink al daai probleme in die wêreld word so maklik opgelos as mense terugdraai na die Here toe en weer lewe as godly men and women. En ek dink dit is wat ek nou voorstreef, is om die mees godly man te wees wat ek kan wees. En ek dink deur dit te doen sal ek 'n verskil kan maak om my, en hoe meer mense dit doen, hoe groter gaan die verskil wees, en ek glo die wêreld sal beslis kan draai weer terug na dat daar meer goed in die wêreld gaan wees as sleg. Maar ek dink die media maak die wêreldse probleme so groot vir ons dat almal negatief is en almal dink dit is die eindtye en dinge gaan so sleg, maar ek dink net daar's net 'n tekort aan Jesus, want mense draai weg van die Here af. En dit is wat ek probeer doen en dit het my baie gerus gestel, want ek het so angstig geraak oor die lewe waarin ons vandag lewe en toe besef ek maar as ek die Here het, kan dinge net verander en net verbeter. So dit is my drijfkrag en my inspirasie om te probeer goed doen. En ja, ek dink 'n ander drijfkrag vir my ook is om te kan dankie sê aan my ouers vir die geleenthede wat hulle vir ons gebied het. Want ek dink soveel mense kan maklik sê al hoekom ons is waar ons is gevolg van ons ouers, en 100%. Ek dink alle krediet gaan aan hulle en die geleenthede wat hulle vir ons gegee het. Maar ek dink ook, ek wil nooit te iemand moet sê dit is net as gevolg van dit nie. Ek sal graag wil bewys dat ons wel hard gewerk het en die tyd ingesit het. En ek dink ook, dit is, soos ek gesê, net te dank aan die Here dat ons so geseend is met al die geleenthede. En ja, ek dink my advies vir enige iemand daar buite is, en ek sê dit vir myself ook elke dag, is om probeer net elke dag nader aan die Here kom, en dinge val net in plek. Ek het dit in my eie lewe ook gesien, waar as dinge chaoties raak, of die lewe lyk net nie goed nie, hoe nader ek aan die Here is, hoe kleiner voel daai probleme. Al is my probleme soveel groter, dit voel kleiner, want ek het die Here aan my sy. So, dit is van my kant af my advies.
Wow. Ek is nou glad stom geslaan en dankie, julle het vir my vandag geïnspireer en ek moes dit ook vandag gehoor het, en daar staak iemand daar buite en iemand wat luister wat dit moet hoor uit sulke jong harte uit. Wow, hoogtes gaan nog julle kante toe kom, en ek weet persoonlik hoe hard werk julle twee. En ek wil afsluit met 'n quote. Toe jy nou praat van nader aan die Here, hoe kleiner is jou probleme. How powerful. Yeah. Because in Engels is daar a quote wat sê, heaven, earth has no problem that heaven cannot heal.
Wow.
Ja, dit is baie mooi.
So, ek wil vir julle twee, het julle nog iets te laaste te sê, Demi en Leroux, voor ons afsluit. Ek wil van my kant af vir julle eers baie dankie sê. Wow, julle het vir my vandag baie geïnspireer. Baie, baie dankie.
Ja, nee, ek wil net sê baie dankie dat ons hier kan wees. Het was ongelooflike geleentheid en een beslis eerste vir my en ek geloof vir Demi ook om hierdie te kan doen en ja, dit was beslis een ongelooflike ervaring gewees. Baie dankie.
Ja, ek wil ook maar net sê baie dankie vir die geleentheid, was baie lekker om te kon gesels en ja, was ook die eerste vir my gewees, maar het was baie lekker en ek waardeer dat ons daar kon praat.
Wow, voor ek afsluit, ek kon nie glo dit is julle eerste nie.
Ja.
So, is julle eerste op radio.
Ja.
Rechtig, wow, well done. Dankie dat julle vir Kasie 107.7 gekies het.
Ja, dankie baie.
Waardeer het baie en alle seën en voorspoed op julle pad.
Baie dankie.
Dankie. Casey 107.7. That was Junita du Plessis, Dis a Vibe. And you were listening to Makasa, it's Malik Harris, Who Cares? And you are back with me, Gerine de Wet, at Power Hour 107.7 this evening. Yes, this is a debut show and with some amazing guests on the show. And now I want to introduce you to someone that I have actually compared him to, David Goggins. If you know David Goggins, that man is a machine. But when I read up about this guy, I'm telling you, he's close to I think he's the South African one. good day, Adrian, and welcome on Casey Power Hour. How are you?
I'm right. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You're most welcome. You have a remarkable track record when it comes to various sports. Please tell us more about all the sports codes you are involved in.
Okay, so yeah, my sporting career started from a very, very young age. I must have been about maybe 5 years old, just entering into grade one, around there, 5, 6 years old. They basically came and scouted us for gymnastics, and I was one of the few that got selected. And then, yeah, eventually I joined the gym. At the time it was called Gordon's Gymnastics. And then from there I did gymnastics for like 12 years up to pre-Olympic level. I got my Western Province and my South African colors as well in gymnastics. But then I kind of grew out of it, had a change of heart, and then in high school started playing rugby. My dream was then to play Western Province rugby and so on. I never really got it in high school, but outside of school I managed to have a feature in the Deezer team. Back then it was called the Deezer, Western Province Deezer team. I just had a feature, and then I took like a 2-year break from sport, try to figure out my life and stuff, and then I stumbled across I wanted to do boxing originally, but got into went to a gym, started training, and then kind of fell in love with MMA and the competitive side of it, and the rest is history. I've been doing it now for nearly 10 years, and I'm a professional with 10 professional fights under my belt, and I'll be having my next one now on the 14th of November.
And I read also jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
you're a blue belt.
Yeah, blue belt in jiu-jitsu, correct. It's I got a black belt in K1 as well.
And so, wrestling?
I've got a little bit of freestyle wrestling. I'm not too much in. I wouldn't say I've trained extensively in it, but in recent years I have. And I mean, I've got the cauliflower ears for it. and I've also traveled to the States. I spent some time in America, in California, in Los Angeles. Trained at King's MMA with Rafael Cordero.
Wow, King's MMA.
Yes, he's currently. Rafael Cordero is the head coach there. He's currently the coach for Mike Tyson. So I got to spend some time with him and a few of the UFC guys and Bellator, Alife. So it was a good experience for me. And it was like just after COVID when I went there. And then, came back to South Africa and continued my career. And now we're at Yokai MMA.
Wow. Remarkable. Wow, I'm just figuring this out in my head. Where does this man get time for all of this? Wow, really. That's why I compared you to David Goggins. That's a machine, and you a machine, I think, too. Our South African machine. Now, you resigned from your full-time job in 2022 to dedicate your time and energy to your fighting career. How has that paid off?
Well, I mean, it's given me all the time in the world to focus on what I love, which is my sport and my passion. And I believe if you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life. And the challenges and the ups and the downs, you know, I've accepted all of it. I mean, I've had my bad times, I've had my good times, but it's definitely paid off. And I mean, I've had the chance to experience a lot of different levels, a lot of different coaching, different styles of coaching and so on. And now where it's paid off is I've now got the opportunity to be a head coach at our gym, York High MMA, and I can now share that knowledge with others.
Okay.
Which is, I think, one of my dreams, you know, to be able to inspire and, you know, build other fighters, those that inspire youngsters that are inspiring to, aspiring fighters, you know what I mean? So I wanna, yeah, I would like to get that together, and it's definitely going to pay off now, so that's good.
Most definitely. Please tell us, I personally want to know this, how do you stay disciplined and what fuels you? What, I mean, you know, motivation is not a thing. Discipline is the thing. What do you do? Tell us, please.
Well, look, it's I mean, I could probably give you whole different answers, you know, what's discipline and this and that. But at the end of the day, you know, my family, I come from a family of sportsmen and sportswomen, but unfortunately, you know, due to circumstance in life and such, I don't think they were given the proper opportunity to fully express their talents within sport. So I'm very grateful to have the parents that I have, that especially my mom, that pushed me to do sport. And since then, it's just always been a big part of my life. And I got to a point where one of my dreams was to become a professional athlete. And I think one other thing, I didn't really matter which sport it was, it's just I wanted to be a professional at what I did. And tried with gymnastics, didn't work. Tried with rugby, didn't work. Kind of gave up on the whole sports dream. And then when I fell into MMA, I was like, right, this is my chance. So I think the thing that drives me the most is, first of all, to be an inspiration to other people. It's one of my life goals, is to inspire others. And then secondly is to break the barrier for those who are going to come after me, whether it be my family or my own students or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I want to be the first one. I want to be the trailblazer. And I think I've done that now by breaking that barrier and becoming the first professional athlete of my family. So that's one of my driving forces. And then, like I said, to inspire other people and to be a good example of hard work and determination, so that others out there can look up to me, or not necessarily look up to me, but use my career and my journey as an example, and they can look at it and be like, man, if he can do it, then why can't I? Can't I go and do that? So, you know, just to show them that they have the courage and that it can be done. If they decide to chase after that thing that they want, they can go and do it. It's there. It's yours. Don't wait for someone to tell you to go and do it. Like, that was one of my posts on Instagram. I said, if you're thinking about doing something, don't wait for someone to tell you to do it. Don't wait for the right time. Just get up and go and do it. It's there. Chase it. It's yours. Go fetch it. Go work for it. It's yours.
Wow. Really, I also have that belief that our brain is tuned in such a way that if you want to do something, it's going to give you all the reasons why you shouldn't do it. And it's going to give you all the risk factors. But the minute you take the 5-second rule and you just go for it, you get marvelous results. Amidst numerous setbacks and obstacles that you have encountered, you never gave up. Please tell us more.
I think that my spirit of never giving up, I'll definitely have to give it to my mother. Something that people don't know about is that my mother's been fighting cancer for nearly 30 years.
Wow. How is she doing?
No, she's good. She's good. She's good. I mean, she's still going through the treatment and all of that. And wow. It's a lifelong battle for her. But just using her as an example, you know, to know that that's my mother. And I mean, I have that inside of me as well. So to see her never giving up and things like that, and, you know, it kind of rubbed off on me, and, you know, I've learned that from her. So like saying with setbacks and things like that, it's just, I mean, I remember going, I mean, having a full-time job and then being a professional athlete. I mean, that's a challenge on its own. Then when I decided to go full-time into the fighting, I basically sold everything. Yeah, I gave up my life in South Africa to go to the States to try and chase my dream. I had a plan to stay there for good, which didn't work out. So this lifelong dream of staying there or you know, living there and starting a life there was only 3 months. So when I came back to South Africa, and this was just after COVID, I had no car, I had no job. And then I decided to go back to my old gym. I had a fight against quite a prominent opponent and I lost. And eventually I was told to leave that gym, and again I was left with nothing. So I decided to maybe change course and try a different career, but this thing inside of me just didn't want to give up the fighting. So I battled with myself. I was like, no, it's over, I don't want to go back. But this thing, every morning I'd wake up and it would tell me, you need to get back in the cage, you need to start fighting, you need to get back in there. So eventually I picked up the gloves again and I filed myself at PFA, Pride Fighting Academy in town, and then kind of rejuvenated my career, got back into the cage, started to get a bit more momentum. And then the last fight that I had, I got knocked out in 13 seconds. So, boom, back to square one. And then life happened, and again, I was left without a gym and nowhere to go. Luckily, God is good, and he has a plan for all of us. Cameron Pritchard, who's the owner of Yorkai MMA, a very good friend of mine and teammate, reached out to me, and he was like, listen, man, I've got an opportunity for you. Would you like to come and help me run my gym? I need a striking coach, and I like the way you coach, and I like what you bring to the table, and we've got good chemistry. Would you like to come help me? So I decided, okay, I've got nothing else to lose, nothing else to do, nothing to lose. So I ended up here, and now I'm back on my feet, back in the cage again, and we're going to give it one more run. And I think the thing that's really driving me is I want to be a champion. I want the belt, and I'm not going to stop until I'm not going to put the gloves down until I get it. So I'm going to keep going, just like my mother hasn't given up. I'm not going to give up. So if she fights, I fight, and that's how it's going to be.
Wow, I'm getting goosebumps just listening to you. A big shout out to your mom, really. Our previous guest also, the shout out went to the parents and the never giving up spirit. Wow, amazing. And I want to tell you, you are a champion already.
Thank you.
I mean, I see a champion.
I just want to add something to my mom's story. You know, she's a perfect example of a powerful testimony and just how God works in people's lives. And the day, it must have been a day or two after my mom had found out that she had cancer for the first time. It was breast cancer and eventually lymphoma, and then I think it went into like her uterus and then now it's stomach. But nevertheless, must have been like 2 days or so after she had found out. I think she was at a church meeting or something other like that. And I don't even think the message that she received from God was anything to do with what they were preaching about or talking about.
Okay.
But she opened up the Bible and the verse, I can't remember the verse exactly. I think it was in Psalms, but it was something along the lines of, you will live, you will not die, so that you can declare the works of the Lord. And ever since she heard that, it's like driven her. She's changed her mind about it, and she's like, this isn't going to be the thing that it ends me.
Wow.
You know, so if there's anything that anyone can gain from my mother's testimony, is that God is good and he has a plan for everybody, and he takes the worst situation and the worst things that can happen, even with me, the worst thing that can happen, and he changes it. And one of the things I've learned recently is that my downfall is his breakthrough. So I'm just holding on to that and believing in that. So yeah,
I'm going to say amen to that, because I've got goosebumps all over. Yeah, I've amen. Received such amazing words from both guests, 3 guests that I had so far. So we're going to first go to a music break so I can take all this in and not lose it.
This is KC 107.7 FM.
Our love by Lady Zamar. Yes, you are still tuned in with me, Gerin De Wet, at the Power Hour show on 107.7 FM. And yeah, we're right back with Adrian Sanchez. Wow, I had to take a breather because I'm telling you, the inspiration I'm getting here from just from listening to my guests, it's just awesome. So let's get back to this man. You are currently contracted as a professional athlete for Extreme Fighting Championship. Tell us a bit more about that, please.
Yeah, so I've been involved with the EFC, the Extreme Fighting Championship now, or EFC Worldwide, or EFC Africa, as they're known, they're different names. I've been contracted to them since 2000, and I'd say end of 2018, April was my debut, and I enjoy it. I mean, my record at the moment is 5-5. I mean, I've won, lost, but every guy that I've got into the cage with and had a fight with, they knew they were in a fight, and you know, they've always come and shook my hand afterwards, and you know, but I think the EFC is the best platform for us African fighters, for the exposure, and especially with Dricus du Plessis and Cameron Simon and all the others that have followed them through to the UFC. I think they've really broken that seal for us guys in the EFC, so the EFC is definitely the number one and leading promotion in Africa. So yeah, and I love the experience that I've gained from them. I love working with them, and I've had my hard times and my bad times with them, but that's the fight game, you know. It's the most unforgiving game or unforgiving industry that you can get into. One day they love you, and the next day they don't. When you're winning, everyone wants to know you. When you're losing, no one knows who you are anymore.
So it goes.
But
no?
So it goes. And
so
You just gotta. You gotta take it all as it comes. The good and the bad, you know. The ugly, as they say, but just keep working, and you know, eventually it happens. But I'm very grateful for the EFC and for the opportunity to compete on their platform.
Yeah, so we heard earlier that you are head coach at Yokai here in Paul, right?
Correct.
I want, before we end off, we need some, what inspiration would you have for someone? You had your struggles and it brought you to the sport and you made the best of it. A last bit of advice for someone listening tonight?
You know, if I can give anyone any kind of advice or inspiration or anything, you know, if it's something that you really, really want to do, and you really feel within your heart and your spirit, you know, that like that's where you want to go, that's what you want to do, then do it. Like, don't sit and wait. Like I you know, in my earlier years as a teenager and stuff, I always questioned myself and I always doubted, like, oh, will I be this, can I do that, what's the other person doing, you know, what would they think, what did I? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. No one really cares. No, like Khabib says, no one cares whether you work hard or not. No one cares. The only thing that matters is how you see yourself, what it is that you want to do, and how badly you want to do it. So get up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror, and tell yourself, and be serious and be honest with yourself, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to give it 100%, regardless of what happens, no matter what. I tell myself that all the time. No matter what happens, I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to get it done, and I'm going to achieve this thing that I have in front of me that I've set out for myself. And that's it. And believe and have faith and trust in God. He has a plan. And He wouldn't have given you that dream and that fire in your soul for no reason. So follow it. Follow your passion. Follow your heart. And just do it. Like Nike says, just do it.
Just do it.
And I just want to send a shout out to our gym, Yokai. We've been there now for about 8 months. And, you know, we just want to provide a nice, authentic martial arts experience, a professional training environment by professionals. And myself and Cameron, we have, between the two of us, we've got nearly 20 years experience in mixed martial arts, and not just coaching, but competing. I mean, we've bled, we've broken bones, we've sweat for this, we've cried for the sport, we've really paid our dues. So yeah, I just want to send a shout out to Cameron and to the gym. And I mean, I know you're from Titans and so on, so I respect other gyms, but at the same time, you know, if you are in the area, 10 Fabriekstraat, you're more than welcome to come down there and check us out. And maybe you find yourself a new family and you enjoy the environment, then you can sign up. No problem. Oh, and one more thing. I just want to send one more thing. I just want to, this is just one of my sponsors that asked me to do this. I just want to send a big shout out to Brainrust for jumping on board as a sponsor for my next fight. Garen and Daniela, you guys are friends of mine as well as sponsors. So I just want to say thank you very much. It's a quiz game app that you can download on the Play Store, and they do monthly quizzes where you can win cash prizes and so on. So if you like quiz games and you like winning money, go check them out.
Wow. And on that note, I would like to say thank you, Adrian Sanchez. I like your surname. Sanchez. That's why I'm just saying it.
Sanchez.
Are you Mexican? So by the way.
No. Ooh, dale madre. No. So I'll explain this quickly. So I'm actually Spanish. My dad comes from Madrid. So my name is Adrian Rayo Sanchez. So Rayo is a Spanish word for lightning. And the name Rayo is actually the name of the soccer team from the area that my dad comes from. So that's where I gained the experience from. But a lot of people call me the Son of Thunder. Now, the Son of Thunder is also a biblical reference. And that's a name that my mother actually gave to me. And I got confirmation from that one day on my way to my last amateur fight. A guy on a bike pulled up and he had like this biker patch on, and it said, and my mom told me the story about it in the Bible, and he pulled up next to me and I was just like daydreaming, and I saw the patch and it said Sons of Thunder. So I was like, that's my name from now on. So Adrian Rayo Sanchez.
You got it. You know to find Adrian Sanchez, Son of Thunder.
There we go.
True inspiration. And I'm saying our essay, our South African David Coggins. Hey. I'm going to do that. I had a wonderful time interviewing you, chatting to you, listening to you, and I hope the listeners as well, and I know they did. You're a true inspiration, and I wish you well on your journey.
Thank you.
Really, and I will definitely make a pop in there.
Yeah.
So have a blessed evening, and that is it from me, Gerin de Wet, at the Power Hour 107.7. Till next week.
Your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.